said, I have to come. And I have to bring something to you. Just express my appreciation for what God is doing in you and with you. Anyway, so we met. And as we talked, I came to learn some more things about him. And lo and behold, he does. You know, I was saying to him, I said, you know, first time I heard you say something, within the first minute, I knew you were an anointed man of God. There's something about the anointing that comes through. You don't need an hour to know that somebody's speaking and moving under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I've heard that song many times. But from the very first second that his sister started singing, I knew this is an anointed woman of God. And it came through. The anointing is something precious. You either have it or you don't. When a man or woman of God is anointed, it doesn't matter if he's speaking loud, soft, doesn't have his words put together properly. Something touches you. You know, this person's got something. I need to pick up and listen. I say that to say this. That you should always listen to anointed voices. If there's no anointing in it, don't waste your time. Because there's a good chance you just hear words or you get lots of error. Because there are many things, if there is a real anointing, there is something that mimics the anointing. And it comes with flair and with all kinds of other stuff. And with that, you're going to get a lot of garbage. You don't want garbage in your life. Be very selective. It's not being critical or judgmental. It's that you're selective to what you're listening to. Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, somehow we covered close to 7 verses last Wednesday. That was good. Hallelujah, we're moving. I think we stopped in verse 14. And we spent much time in verse 14. So we're going to move on to 15. In 14, it talks about our earnest inheritance, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the surety, the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So our inheritance. Someone say our inheritance. Okay, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in one day, we should spend some time just talking about that one word, faith, because it's something that we don't grasp completely. I believe Mark 11 is a passage that tells us about faith. But I have skimmed through it many times. One of these days, I'm going to come back to the passage in Mark 11 where it says, have God's kind of faith, or have faith in God. And we'll explore it in detail, word for word. May take me 2, 3, 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks. But I'll gladly do it. Just focus on the 3, 4 verses and go deep. Paul says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, after I heard of your faith, the word is the word pisteo is believe. Believing and faith are not exactly the same thing. Faith is that which comes by hearing. In a sense, faith, faith is active wisdom. Let me say that again. Faith is active wisdom. Say it a third time. Faith is active wisdom. Faith is what is acted out. So James says, show me your faith by your works. Faith without action is not faith. It's powerless, can't accomplish anything. It says, I heard of your faith. So faith was being demonstrated. He said, and I heard it. And watch this. In the Lord Jesus and what? Love. That's the other thing that faith cannot exist or function without. Love. Faith worketh by love. And love has to be active. I said faith was active wisdom. And Jesus, our Lord, said, he who comes, hears my words, and does it, he is a wise man. A foolish man comes, hears my word, but doesn't do it. The one who comes, hears the word, and does it, that's the one who has built his house on solid rock. And the storm comes, and the house stands. A foolish man comes, hears the word, but doesn't do it. But the Bible says he built his house. So he built something, but he built it on sand. Built it on something that is not stable, something that shifts. And you know wisdom by actions that are established on something that is solid, not James tells us that whatsoever has been born of God that one came down from the Father of lights. What's your statement? Father of what? Lights. In whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us. No shadow of turning. Watch this. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. That is the word hagios. That's the word for holy. That's the word for sacred. That's the word for separation. We'll talk about holy is the Lord. We're talking about hagios. So love for all the saints, love for all the holy, separated unto God. So when God calls you and I saints, he's saying you are holy and separated. And he's saying here, he says, I heard about your love for those that have been separated unto God. Everything that's been separated unto God, your love for that. Now, the saints represent people. But what makes them holy is the fact that they're separated onto certain things. Separated onto what? What are some examples? Separated onto truth. If you continue my word, you're my disciples indeed. And his disciples indeed are saints. But they've been separated onto truth and they continue in truth. So, in the world that we live in today, so many things happen. So many things happen. And not everything is black and white. But truth is black and white. So you can have a situation where you can agree that this is the truth, and in the same breath say something within the mix of whatever it is that you say is truth is not the truth. But what we do say is that if it is not true in one particular area, because it's not true here, all of it is not true. No, truth is separated from lies. So, Pastor, where are you getting at? I'm getting at living a life that is God-like, where faith says to you, this is right, this thing is right, but this is wrong. Let me give you an example of it. This is not the best example, but it will illustrate what I'm talking about. Recently, I think there was a judgment made about the particular case just yesterday down south, where a cop knelt on a man's neck. Bad. We'll agree with that, right? That's evil. Now, if you just look only at that particular situation and you don't see everything else, you think about the person who did that as just evil to the core. But when you step back and you look at all that happened before that particular situation happened, you say, why did this guy do that that caused this to happen? But because he did it does not make him right for doing it. But the act of the other person that got knelt on was also wrong. So you're faced with a dilemma. How do you deal with this particular situation? Now, only from a God perspective that God can put proper judgment on a particular situation. Yesterday, some teenager was trying to kill another teenager with a knife. And a cop came and shot the teenager that was trying to kill the other one. Now, what do you do with that? Is it a bad situation? whose life was to be spared? Will the cop who shot this person be destroyed because they shot that person? What if he didn't shoot that person? Will they judge him for not shooting the person? Those are real issues in real life. Life is messy. Make sense? Life is messy. And you cannot just make a blanket statement about everything, because you don't know the heart of people. But there's a God who knows the heart of people, who's able to separate the mess. That makes sense? Those are the challenges we face in life. You say, Pastor, what point are you making in all of this? And how is it related to this? I'll show you in a moment. The point is this. Don't jump to conclusions on everything that you see and hear. Not everything will be dealt with the same way, because life is very transient, very fluid. You don't know the details. Only God ultimately has full details. So in a sense, the judgments that we make are as flawed can be. But in the midst of that, God still wants us to make particular judgments. And what is it that he wants us to make judgments about? What we know to be true. What we know to be true. So separated unto God. Does that mean that they never did anything wrong? No. It means that they chose to follow through with God. And that, first of all, is what makes them saints, that they've separated themselves unto God. They may make mistakes, but there the blood of Jesus Christ comes and cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Is that all right? Because it's so easy to hold on to particular things and remember certain things about particular people and say, they are this. And you just remember that I've lost respect, I've lost trust, I've lost this, and so on and so forth. How many of you know a guy called Peter in the Bible? You know him? You know that guy? How many of you know that he denied the Lord? You know that? How many of you know that the one that he denied said he was going to use him to be the key leader of his church? How many of you know that he was the very first person who spoke in the upper room? How many of you know that he was one of the first to raise a man that was lame for 40 years up at a beautiful gate? Now, what if we just held him to, I don't know him, I swear! I swear, I don't know this guy! What if we just held him to that? How many of you know a guy called Paul? How many of you know that he was busy killing Christians? What about holding him to his past? Now the people, a lot of them said, we can't trust this guy. We can't trust him. No. He's a murderer. But did God trust him? Did he say, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul? Did he say, you're going to stand for me before the emperor, the kings? Now, if God can make those decisions, then you must know that it is based on faith and based on love. And so when we talk about love unto all the saints, we're talking about the presence of forgiveness, continuity in love. That somebody can fail, fall flat on their face, and if they ask for forgiveness, that it is available before they even ask for it. You say, well, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, if you can show it to me in the Bible, I will agree with you. Is it some kind of a truth? Sure, but is it the truth? No. Love covered a multitude of what? Sins. That's what the Word of God says. Now, I'm not going to put a stumbling block in front of you. If I know you're going to take $5 and you're going to go buy crack with it, I'm not going to give you $5. But I may take you to McDonald's and buy you some food to eat. But I'm not going to give you money for crack. But I'll love you enough to chat with you, to do whatever it is I can do for you, and help you the best I can. And sometimes I might know that you are lying through your teeth. Actually, not too long ago, I think it was last Sunday or two Sundays back, one of these days anyway, I was out there, and one of the pastors, somebody had come, driven their car and was begging for gas money, and I want to go to Brandon. I'm going to get my check. I'm listening to this guy. I knew this guy was lying through his teeth. And I could just point at him and say, you're lying to me. And shame him. I said to him, you want gas? Yeah. Get in your car. I'll go buy your gas. So he went with me, and I went to the booth, paid the money, and said, give this person so much gas. And I went back and said, I didn't say give him change. because I know he, as soon as I leave, he might just go back there and say, just give me $10 and give me the change. No. $20 gas. If he decides to go sniff it, that's not my problem. You understand what I mean? But love will trust and bring you to a place where you do certain things so that life continues. Amen? Hallelujah. So Paul says, I see, I heard. If your faith. Verse 16, he says, because of that, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Because of your faith and your love walk, when I pray, I give thanks for you. Why? He's seen some changes take place here. These are Gentiles, people who didn't know God. Their cities and their communities filled with idolatry. Worship all kinds of things. And he says, I don't cease to give thanks for you. If I may think about you, I just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Cease not to give thanks means that even if you heard something didn't go right, you say, thank you, Father. They're not where they used to be. They're not where they should be, but you are working on them. I trust you. I trust you. You are God, and you're a good God. And this is something that we all need to do, one for the other. Thank God. If we go about with each one here present right now to try to find something that you're not good at, that we may find fault at, I'm sure we'll find a fault. It won't take too long. We'll find a fault on everybody here, including me. We'll find something. But we can do the same thing and find something good in everyone here. And thank God for that. So the question then is, what is my focus? Because if you keep on telling people about how bad they are, and they never see anything good happening in their lives, they're going to get discouraged and feel defeated and whatever else. The role of the church is not to point out all the bad things that we do. It's to reflect on, yeah, this is not good, but these are the good things that we're doing. These are the things that we're doing better. If I come and evaluate your job, or you come and evaluate my job, and all you see is something that I am doing wrong, how encouraged will I be to continue to do good when whatever good I'm doing is not sin? So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying being a saint means, yes, we're separated and we are holy unto God, but sometimes it does not mean that we have not made errors. When we make errors, that should be confronted and change must take place, because one of the key words of the Lord throughout his ministry, the very first statements he makes, John makes, Peter makes, is repent. Repent. And if we're going to be saints, we have to learn repentance. Praise the Lord. He makes prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Watch that. The Father of glory. The Father of lights. The Father of glory. The Father of lights, the Father of glory. God calls you and I light. But in this verse, when he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, he also talks about the Father of glory. Guess who that glory is? I'm sure you'll say Jesus. But the glory is us. Jesus is the glory also. But we are also the glory of God. Now, as you come through the book of Ephesians, you're going to start shaking your head. Because what God is saying about us, about the church, when we look at the church, we don't see it. The incredible things that he's saying about the church, and what we see with our natural eyes, if we live our lives based on our natural look, we don't see. We say, wait a minute, I don't see that. But it's not for you to see as much as for you to know that he sees something that you don't see, because his perspective about the situation is different from you, for his ways are higher than your ways and his thoughts higher than your thoughts. So God wants to bring you an eye to seeing from his perspective. And when we start seeing from God's perspective, change takes place in our lives. Our attitude changes. When I see myself elevated in a place of honor as a saint of God, without blemish, without blame, without wrinkles, it's like this. If I'm dressed all in white, white shoes, white pants, white shirt, white suit, jacket, white scarf, white hat, do you see me jumping inside a pool of mud? No? Do you think I will avoid it? Won't I be doing things like this? When you see yourself as God sees you, that's what you start doing. You don't act reckless. Because you know, I am the manifestation of his glory in the earth. He is the Father of glory, and my other name is glory. All that God is is inside of me. Wow. And if you don't know it, I'm praying. This is what I'm praying. As I give God thanks, I'm praying that God will give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Come in, hearing the words of God and doing it. That you be wise and have revelation of who he is. Have a revelation of God. Because when you have a revelation of God and you understand that you've been created in the image and the likeness of God, then you're going to act godly. People who do not have a revelation of who God is don't act godly. They act ungodly. A lack of insight and understanding of who God is. I serve an awesome God. And I cannot live shabbily. I serve a God of truth. I cannot be entangled with lies. I serve a God of love. I cannot be working around with hate. Indifference and apathy. God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, Sophia. And revelation. An unveiling, the spirit of manifestation. In the knowledge, hallelujah, in the what? Knowledge. The full discernment of who God is. Now, we do know that all eternity will not be enough to unveil and unpackage who God is. But if we can get a hold of this one aspect, that God is truth, and there's no lie in him, And that he's well able to do whatever he needs to do as a loving father to provide, protect, deliver, make whole his children. If I can take a hold of that truth, whatever truth about the goodness of God I can take a hold and have a hold on and hold steadfastly to it, there will not be a day that I will no lack. Years ago, I had a minimum of what I will give to God in any service, at my minimum. And so no matter what happened, I came with that minimum. Then I came to a place where I said, no. That is not good. We're going to go to another level. And when I moved to that level, I found myself moving to another higher level. Now we are about 150% over and above what my previous minimum was. Would you believe that the new minimum is not a problem? I was thinking the other day. Oh, actually, not the other day. Today, while I was coming to church, I was thinking about the first fruit. I'm driving, I'm on Hartford, I'm coming in. I'm thinking about the first fruit. I said, first fruit is everything that I receive at the beginning. Well, I can decide to give God a fruit from the tree, or I can give God the whole tree. Why not? My first offering for the year is all of my income for that first month. I give it to God. I say, here it is. Then I shook my head. I said, what are you trying to get me to do now? And I stopped. Okay. I should start working towards that. That means, you see, do you remember in the year of Jubilee, they were not supposed to sow. They stopped sowing on the 49th year. So 49th year, no sowing. 50th year. And then they have to sow on the 51st year and wait for the harvest. So basically, from year 48, in real terms, God had to bless them with more than enough in year 48 to last them through the years of Jubilee. Are you with me? So, if I make a decision that my first income in January of 2022, this is 2021, 2022, I'm going to give God all of that, bang, one shot. January belongs to the Lord. It's here. Then I can trust God that in December or November that he would have put enough in my hands that when I come to January, it's nothing. I'll cross over to February. Make sense? It's about me trusting God. And God helping me accomplish what I need to accomplish. God, I'm giving you the first fruit of 2022. Here it is. Bang! Slam dunk, all net. Praise the Lord. That would drive the devil bonkers. But yes, you can start. But that's the discussion while I was driving, coming in from the house that I was engaged in with the Lord, first fruit, everything. And then I shook my head. I said, I don't think so. But the truth is, I've never done it that way. Not intentionally. But I believe this year, I must have done it. You know, that I give everything for the month in the offering. But that was not intentional. But I've seen the benefit of it. Hallelujah. I've seen it. I've given more to the Lord so far this year than I have in previous years. Even as a church, this church has given out so much this year. Praise the Lord. That I had to call a board meeting. Guys, we're sending out so much money. CRA will start asking us questions. We better get our books and our governmental stuff in proper order to cover any question that they might ask us. Because it's not normal. Not in the year, in the years of COVID. It's not normal. Nothing that's happening here is normal. Hallelujah. God is doing his thing. And I believe that's why the devil... Did I tell you guys about the battle I had last Sunday? About the enemy says, I'm going to shut down your finances. I did share that. And we prayed. Oh, yes, we did that. And then I said, I said to the church, it's offering time. People start coming to give their offering. Well, you got to enforce that. When I tell you something that the enemy is planning, don't just depend on what we do here. You got to do your part. That means if you find any slight hint of the enemy trying to meddle around with your finances, you slap his hand and say, get your hands off here. Don't touch my purse. The Lord rebuke you. Amen? You enforce it. You and I are going to come to that place where we don't think about how we spend money anymore. When you're poor, you think a lot. But when you're not there, in God, you know, people in the world, you know, they can still, you know, think about, because you can have a poverty mentality and be wealthy. You know that? Yeah. And you'll be thinking about your money all the time. But there comes a place in God where you don't. It's a non-issue. And I want God to bring every one of us to that place. Amen? As we have a revelation of the knowledge of him, that God has no limits. Look at, if he wants to give you rain, lots of it, snow, lots of it, whatever it is that he has more than enough. He takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeds 5,000 people. He's not concerned about it. Just sit them down. That's a revelation. Amen? That's a revelation. When we come to that place of having that kind of a revelation, no limits. Praise the Lord. Maybe I should stop there. Because if I get on to the next one, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that'll be another 30 minutes. So let's stop where we are and just understand. His prayer was, you have a revelation, have the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Because when you have that spirit of wisdom, which is, in a sense, active obedience, activated love, activated wisdom, which is the expression of your faith, and you have a knowledge of Him, that this God, everything came out of Him, so He can turn water and make it wine. The devil was even knew this much, that he could turn stone and make it bread. You understand? It didn't tempt him because he knew it was not possible. He can turn stone and make it bread. He can cause a rod, just a stick, to bud, flower, bear fruit without being planted. Ha! What can't he do? The limitation is not God. The limitation is me. Because I think there's got to be roots. It's got to be planted and it process of time. In the process of time, it might. God doesn't have any such problem. Cause a whole tree to grow up overnight to shade Jonah. Can God? He makes a nation in one day. Wow. Is there anything God can't do? No. But we have to have a revelation. What is this revelation? Is it a revelation in the knowledge? Give me that last verse again. Watch this. And revelation in the knowledge of Him. What does that mean? Is the knowledge of Him. But it is, I'll leave this with you so you can meditate on it. In the knowledge, a revelation in the knowledge, a revelation in the knowledge of Him. So a revelation in the knowledge what God knows. So that I get to know what God knows. It's not just about knowing Him. It's about knowing what God knows. So that brings me to the beginning. This person does this and that person does that, but we don't know the hearts of the man. So we cannot make clear judgment whether this guy did it because he was a racist or because he was trying to follow a particular regulation or because of whatever. But in the knowledge of Him, you can know exactly why he did what he did. Because now you're not judging after man, what man sees, but according to what God sees. Is that not a different place for us to be? Well, you're talking with somebody and you can just tell. I remember first days being a Christian. Seeing things and talking to people about whatever it was that they were doing before I met them. And you've seen those graces, those giftings operate. We had one of our ministers, one of the sons, Paul, Ame, reading people's mail addresses and hometowns and whatever else. Okay. That's having a knowledge from God's perspective. Yeah? So you know it can happen. And God can bring us in mass into a grace in Him where we do not rely on what we see in the natural. What we see in Him and in His knowledge of the matter. Where you say to somebody, I know this is what you're telling me, and love believeth all things, but why is it that I'm hearing this? Why is it that I'm seeing this? What are you seeing? Oh, I'm seeing this and this and this and this and that and this. Why am I seeing this? Okay, Pastor. Okay, you saw right. But why were you telling me this? Do you remember Paul, Peter, in Acts 5? Is it true that this is how much you sold this stuff? Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? That's where God wants to bring the saints. Amen? So you're not concerning yourself about, well, what vaccination should I take? Or should I take a vaccination? You're not concerning yourself with those things. You see from God's perspective. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. And we ask, oh God, for supernatural insight, for our eyes of understanding being enlightened. We want to see from your perspective and deal from your perspective. Lord, escalate the process of us coming into this place, the place that your son, your servant, the Apostle Paul prayed for. For it was not only for the Ephesians, it was for every one of us. That you, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are, that you may, Lord, O God, may you move from the may to willing it, make it possible. Let it be an affirmative action according to your perfect will. We were not born by the will of man, or flesh, or blood, but by your will. So let it now be unto us according to thy word. Answer this prayer and establish us for your glory. We need it right now. We need it so we can act appropriately. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for His grace and for the release of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who God is and in the knowledge of what God knows. Blessed be the name of our Lord forever. Amen. Praise God. We bless